This is episode 146 on January 21st, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
And it's going to snow.
In some parts of the country, yes.
Yeah, you're not getting any, huh?
It's hard to say. We might get like a smidgen, like a tiny little smidgen, but I'm not counting on getting anything. It stinks, too, because I want snow. I'm like the only person in the whole country that wants to get snow, and I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, we're going to get a little bit. We had a little bit of a wintry mix the other day, and then we're going to get mainly sleet and some snow, but probably more freezing rain tomorrow. But then early Saturday morning, we're getting snow. But I'm thinking it's mostly going to be ice.
You should do a time lapse.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
You should do it, man. The great 2016 ice storm of South Carolina.
That's right. yeah, it's funny. Trying to find out suggestions for our weekly photo challenge, Matt Hand on Facebook put, let's do snow as the challenge. And I'm like, yeah, but not everybody has snow.
Yeah, but everybody has snow cones.
I don't have snow cones.
Well, you just need to go get one.
Oh.
Yeah. Nah. Everyone has access to them. That's what I mean.
I can just see it. Everybody's like bundled up and it's wintertime. What are you doing? I'm going to get a snow cone. What? cool. What you been up to, man?
What have I been up to? Taking pictures. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Yeah, it's easy to forget because we do this on Thursday, and a lot of my activity photographically happens kind of immediately after recording this.
Yeah.
So it's like I have to think like a week back, and, you know, that's hard to do when you're as old as I am.
Yeah. I resemble that.
You resemble or resent?
Resemble, because I am the same age.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha. I live relatively close to Amish country here in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
So we took a trip for the day in the Amish country, and I ended up basically doing a lot of aimless driving around. Just turning on like random back roads and driving past all these really beautiful farms. And I got to do a lot of photography. So that was pretty awesome. And then I had another opportunity the following day to head out to a state park near my house, and it was snowing. So it was beautiful, and did a little bit more photography. The crazy thing is, Joe, I actually had an issue similar to your issue a couple years ago where my phone decided that the battery was totally dead.
Oh, no.
Even though it wasn't. And so that put a damper on my photography the one day.
Yeah.
I'm monitoring it, but it hasn't done it since. But it must, I don't know, it must just have something to do with the cold or something. I don't really know.
I actually had an incident a week ago where my phone all of a sudden said it was like at 0%. And I'm like, no, it's not. It should be half. And so when I plugged it in, it said 50% again. I think it happened it's only happened twice, but I haven't nearly had the issue like I did with my 4S. So what Matt was talking about was we met up in York, Pennsylvania, and the cold would kill my battery, and I would have to pretty much jumpstart it with an external battery just to be able to use my phone. And after I replaced the battery myself, I got a external battery case for that and never had a problem ever since. But it's a bit of a pain, especially when you're trying to get some shots and your phone goes, "Oh, I'm shutting down," and you can't use it. But I think I read on iMore that Apple is investigating quirky battery measurement issues. So I don't know if it's an iOS problem or if it's a physical problem. I'm thinking it's probably going to be software related, but it's interesting that you mentioned that because I just read that today and I had that problem a week ago. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. And, you know, I don't know. It's really more of an annoyance than anything because, you know, I was trying to do some photography and it forced me to just admire the landscape without taking pictures of it.
Well, it looks like in our chat room, Greg and Doug had similar issues. And, you know, I think Greg said that he was doing a snowshoe hike and was doing some long exposures and it just shut off. And so it sounds like it might be a battery issue. And then Doug said that it did it to him twice today and every day for the last couple weeks. So something to keep our eyes on.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
So anything in particular that you shot that you're like, I want to go do that again?
Yeah, Amish country.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, like I feel like I just got like the very tip of the iceberg there, and I think I need to make some trips without the family. And, they were very accommodating though because they were both asleep.
Oh, in the good. Car.
So it really didn't matter how many times I stopped the car and got out.
Just wait till Joseph says, "Are we done?"
Well, yeah, as long as he's sleeping, I'm good.
Yeah.
But it's a really interesting place to take pictures. For anyone that doesn't know, that has never like had any encounters with the Amish, their religion really frowns on how do I word this? Like anything that puts a reflection back on them that okay. draws attention to themselves as an individual.
Yeah.
So they're not really keen on photography. They do not like to have photos of themselves taken, or at least not photos where their face is visible.
Okay.
And identifiable. So, I've been aware of that for a very long time because I grew up in Pennsylvania, not too far from a really large Amish population there. So I've been well aware of that, and it's something that I respect. I respect it so much that there's like certain pictures that I want to take that I'm just afraid to take because I'm afraid I'm like going to offend them or get yelled at by them or something.
Yeah.
Like, there was these really, really cool horses that at this one farm, and I pulled off the side of the road, pretty much right next to the horses. They were right up against a fence, like right up at the side of the road. And this road I was on was like a dirt road. It was really super narrow, and there just happened to be like a truck or something coming the other way. And so I pulled off right at these horses, and I told my wife, I'm going to get out and take a picture of these horses. Well, the truck went by. And just up the road, there was a barn, and this little Amish boy, he looked like he was probably about 10 or so, was standing right outside the barn looking at me. And I thought, oh man, I better not get out and do anything near these horses, because, you know, it's their horses.
Yeah.
And the kid started walking towards me because he actually thought that I was stuck in the mud on the side of the road, which I wasn't.
But
so we kind of got out of there, and you know, I thought I'm not gonna make a thing out of taking a picture of some horses. So I knew up the road there was another picture I wanted to take. It was basically a frozen pond down in a field, but the road kind of went up this hill, so you got a real high vantage point, and it kind of looked out like over a bunch of rolling hills.
Uh-huh.
And right when we got to that spot, there was an Amish woman walking down the road, like right there. And I'm like, oh man. So I went by her, and then I pulled off the side of the road, and I got out of my car, and of course she turned and is looking back at me like, what's this guy doing? You know, and then she kind of picked up her pace, and, you know, but I just like went across the road and took my pictures, and, you know, I hope I didn't bother anybody, but it's so interesting. It's a really different lifestyle they live, you know, just doing everything by hand. It's a lot of old order Amish, which are the Amish that like don't use any kind of technology,
right,
like current, you know, electricity or like technology like we do. So there's a lot of horse and buggies and that kind of thing. And it's just so fascinating for some reason to me.
I don't know. Part of me wants to like spend a week or two and experience that type of lifestyle. Just so that, you know, there's a little bit of a better understanding, because we're in reality, we're not in the realm of history that far off from what people would normally have been living like. So Dave says no zippers and such. but yeah, it's good that you mentioned that, because I think we kind of forget, especially when it comes to different cultures and lifestyles, that we take for granted, what we would consider normal is not to other people. And we have to be aware of our surroundings, and in everything, be respectful. I know there's a group of photographers out there that want to push the boundaries of the First Amendment and say, well, you know, this is public, and so there's no expectation of privacy. We're going to take our picture, and you're just going to have to deal with it. And it kind of puts a bad light on photography. Not that, you know, everybody's like, oh, photography is so wonderful. It seems like every time we turn around, there's a new statute or some sort of a civil rule where, no, you can't take photographs here. Why not? Because we said so. And like, and you know, there was that whole thing where airports were putting up pictures of guys in cloaks with a camera and almost looking like, insinuating that we're terrorists. If you see somebody with a camera, you know, tell somebody. And, you know, it's just, photography is painted in a bad light sometimes, but being mindful, especially, you know, like you said, with the Amish people, you know, is a good thing. And sometimes the photo you want to get, you may have to just have to say, well, I really wanted it, but I'm not going to get it. Just so that, yeah, you know, because, you know, for the most of us, most of our listeners have a conscience, and, you know, we have to live with that conscience. And, you know, if we do something that is out of the realm of respect or anything, then we have to live with ourselves. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, you know, it all worked out. I probably drove 5 minutes down the road, and came across a different bunch of horses that were very accommodating.
Yeah. Yeah.
they were not near the road. And actually at the time I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool picture. And I got out and the horses were like, oh, sweet, you're here to play with us. And they came running over and they were huge horses, like Clydesdales or something. Wow. And I ended up petting one, but I was kind of nervous because I thought, man, if it moves its head quick or something and like hits me, it's going to just send me flying. This is a huge horse.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, I have some cool places to go around here. We have some old plantations. You know, being here in the South, there's a lot of there's still a lot of cotton fields, and so some of the plantations around here are picturesque, and you know, they don't have the restrictions the Amish country would have, but. You know, you just sometimes you have to take a little bit of a drive to get somewhere and find it.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I think like around Amish people is the only time I feel inhibited in taking a picture. Otherwise, I'll take a picture of anything.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like in the chat room, Dave mentioned. Sometimes he feels the need to be careful around federal buildings.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't feel that at all.
push that First Amendment right. Come on, man. I'm on a public sidewalk.
If I see something that I think is going to make a good picture, then I'm going to try to get that picture.
Yeah.
And it even goes as far as, I don't know if you've ever read anything about like war photographers,
uh-huh.
You know, that a lot of them say that like they don't have a sense of what's happening around them being real because they're looking at it through a lens. So like they're a lot of times they're like oblivious to the danger that they're in.
Yeah.
And I would have to say that like, for some of the landscape pictures and some other pictures I've done, especially out west,
yeah,
I would put myself in situations to get a picture where it's like, you know, if I didn't have a camera, I would never be standing on this ledge I'm standing on or hanging out on this rock at the edge of a waterfall or, you know, whatever stupid thing I was doing to try to get this cool picture.
Yeah.
If, you know, but I'm looking at it through a lens, so I'm not perceiving the danger.
Right.
That's like kind of a different topic, I guess, than what we were talking about. But it's, I guess the point is generally I'll do anything to get a picture.
Nice. Yeah. Let's see. What did I do? I've been taking a lot of photos of my kids lately, sending them
that's
to
a
my
shocker.
Folks. I know. You know, when you have four of them, you have to take pictures. Let's see, what else did I do? I've been playing a lot with the stylus lenses, and I did another portrait. So I think we should just go ahead and jump into our focus point.
Focus point.
So, all right. So let's talk about the stylus case and lens. Mark's not here. Unfortunately, he's sick. His second week in a row. He's trying to get over the nonsense that's floating around his house. So we're going to try and wait until all three of us were on the show together to talk about it. Cause I got one for Christmas and Mark and Matt received theirs this month, a couple weeks ago. And we wanted to talk about it. So let's go ahead and do it. And wish Mark some good health and everything, so he can jump back on the show every once in a while. So, all right. So the stylus lens, it starts with a Z, is something that we decided to jump in on and give it a try. And I have to say, I like it. I don't regret getting it. And so I thought, let's go ahead and talk about which ones we have and what we've done with it. So, Matt, go ahead and tell us the lens system that you got with Stylus.
All right. Well, I think this interest in this lens system all came about because of one of our weekly photo challenges.
Oh.
And I believe it was the macro. I think we did a macro challenge. Yeah. And somebody mentioned, to check out some lady's Instagram feed where she just has like these amazing macro photos.
Yeah.
And in kind of looking at her captions and tags and stuff, this stylus lens kept popping up, and it's a stylus. It's spelled like stylus, except instead of beginning with an S, it begins with a Z.
Yep.
And so I think we all kind of got intrigued, and it's funny at the time, and this was just a couple months ago. The only thing that they had available was what you got, Joe.
Yep, that's right.
And I'll let you explain that when you talk about it. But then just a short while later, they introduced what Mark and I got, which is called the Z Prime Lens Kit. And basically what that is, it's a case for your phone. The case has like a little bayonet mount type thing around where your camera lens is. And then the kit comes with a wide angle and a telephoto lens that can mount onto the case. So it's kind of similar to like the Moment lenses in a way. And so Mark and I both jumped on that because that seemed pretty much right up our alley. And so here's what I got. I got a case that is like part metal and part plastic. It's like a two-part case. And it has like a kickstand built in, and there's a this circular part that the kickstand's in. You could actually take it off the back, and then I could put different attachments on there.
Yeah.
Like the 4-in-1 revolver lens that you got, Joe. Yep. or their ring light, and they have some other accessories coming out soon. And then it also came, like I mentioned, the lenses, which actually, if you head over to our YouTube channel, Mark posted a video this week.
Yes,
he did that covers these lenses pretty well. There's basically a wide angle lens, which is around an 18 millimeter equivalent, and then a telephoto lens. It's basically a 2x telephoto. So I think it's like in the video, Mark says 60 millimeters. It's somewhere in that range, maybe like 50-ish millimeters. But in any case, it doubles the focal length of your iPhone, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And then it also came with this neat little holder clip that you could attach both lenses to. And then it has like a carabiner clip, so you could just like hook it on something with a carabiner, or you could attach the whole holder onto like a backpack strap or a camera bag strap or something. It's really a nifty little doodad. And then both lenses also have lens caps. And the lens caps are magnetic. It's basically an outer ring that's magnetic that sticks to the outside of the lenses. And then the cap itself is on a little spring-loaded hinge. So you just push this button, and the lens cap just flips open and stays out of the way. So you don't,
nice.
you don't actually have to take the lens cap off the lens. You could keep it on, and just the part that covers the lens like flips out of the way when you want to take a picture. It's super awesome. I'm like totally in love with it. And then as far as the lenses go, they're really nice lenses. They seem like they're really well built. Just looking at like the glass and everything, they just look flawless. I was a little bit surprised how light they are though. My only experience with like a higher quality lens like this is with the Moment wide angle lens. And that was kind of a beefy lens for an accessory lens. It had some heft and some weight to it. And these lenses aren't like super light, but they're just a lot lighter than the Moment lens. So, at first I was like, oh no, are these going to be like cheap and chintzy? But they're really not. They're really nice lenses. I've only shot with the wide angle lens a little tiny bit so far, but I do like it. I haven't noticed too much in the way of distortion. It does distort, if you're taking a picture of like trees or whatever, the trees towards the outer edges of the frame are gonna, kind of bend inward quite a bit. But I did some pictures this past weekend in the woods, and the trees for the most part are really straight. I was really surprised, not really a lot of distortion. And then the telephoto lens, that lens is great. I was actually really surprised. I was kind of nervous that the pictures coming out of it were going to be really soft, but the middle three quarters of the image is really sharp. And nice. Then you get some softness out, at the edges and the corners. But with the lenses this small, I would say it's probably pretty hard to, correct for all those different things that can happen. I think another thing that comes up that Mark might have mentioned is aberrations. I haven't really noticed that. The most common type of aberration is a chromatic aberration. And basically what that means is that when the light is going through the lens, and it's being bent, and it's being bent into the different color wavelengths. And when you get an aberration, that's basically like, let's say, two different color wavelengths that are not focusing at the same spot. And so when you have like a hard edge, like let's say, a dark black car against a washed out gray sky, on the edge of the car, you might see like a purple or a cyan halo.
Yeah.
That's a chromatic aberration. Right. So I haven't really noticed that with these lenses. I have read some reviews that say that they have noticed them, but for me, it hasn't been an issue so far. I think it probably depends on the lighting conditions and what you're taking a picture of. But the lenses seem really, really awesome. The case is another thing that is, it's nice. It's a case that I want to have it on my phone. It's not like a case that I'm like, well, I'm going to go take some pictures, so I'll put this case on so I could use the lenses. It's actually like a nice case. It's not bulky. It looks really nice on the phone. I have two minor gripes though about the case.
Let's hear that.
What's that?
I want to hear it.
Okay. The first one is something that Mark mentioned to me, like right after we both got our lenses. He said, the case is slippery. It feels like it's going to slip out of my hands. And I thought, you're crazy. People said that about like the iPhone in general, but I feel like I could hold on to the naked iPhone. Well, the case is textured, but it feels slippery for some reason.
Yeah, it is a step above a naked iPhone. Because no matter what I do, when I'm holding my iPhone, and it just, it's like butter. It wants to slip right out of my hand. But this is a step up from being the naked iPhone. Go ahead.
Then the other gripe that I have is that the case is so it's very exact, I guess, in the way it fits the phone. There's no room for anything else, right?
Right.
And the only reason that bugs me is because when I got my new phone, my iPhone 6S Plus, in my car, I switched my phone holders to magnetic ones. So I have like a vent mount and a different one that actually goes into the CD slot in my car stereo.
Okay.
But it's just a magnetic. And I had in my old phone case, I had a metal plate that was stuck on the inside of the case. And when I got in my car, I just stuck my phone right to the holder. You know, I didn't have to mess with any kind of like clips that gripped onto the phone or anything. It was just boom. It just magnetically stuck there. Right.
Uh huh.
And that was great because the one that mounted into the car stereo I got because during the winter when I have the heat blasting, I don't want to use the vent mount holder because I don't want the heat blasting onto my phone, right, you know, while I'm driving. This case, I don't think I can put one of those metal plates anywhere. It's the case is just too tight.
Yeah, it is. Well, what about the kickstand? Is that – that's not magnetic, is it?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I'll have to try. I actually haven't – I didn't think of that. I'm not sure if it's enough of a chunk of metal, though, to hold the phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would actually need, like, a plate that's about as big around as that circle on the back of the case.
Right.
To, like, securely hold it. And I do have a plate I could probably put on the outside of the back of the case, but I don't want to do that because then I'd have this metal plate visible. But I think Zeitless, they somehow wormed their way into my head and they knew I was unhappy. So, coming out pretty soon, supposedly by the end of this month, they have a vent clip kit.
Oh.
So basically, I can remove that little kickstand circle piece and put a different circle piece in that has a vent clip so I can mount it right into the vent in my car.
I actually might get that.
I know 100% for sure I'm going to get it.
Have you used the kickstand yet?
Yes, I have actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm digging it. I didn't know that I would enjoy a kickstand.
I know. This is the first time I've had a kickstand other than, say, the OtterBox, you know, clip can actually be turned into a kickstand. But it's very impractical. And this was a whole lot better. I had to do something with my kids. And so I set up my phone and turned on a show. And my daughter sat in my lap and I was just watching and I was like, you know what? This is nice. I like that.
Yeah, definitely. And then I just wanted to mention one other thing about this. So I mentioned how the case is like a two-piece case.
Yeah.
So basically there's like, the main body of the case and then, a metal part that makes up like the bottom, like, I don't know, eighth of the case. And you kind of slide the two pieces together at the bottom of the phone. And then there's basically two holes that line up. And you got this little thumb screw that threads in there. And you just tighten it down. That just keeps the case securely together.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to hate the thumb screw because I thought, well, the phone's not going to sit flat, you know, if you lay it down on a table or something. But it's actually not as annoying as I thought it would be because the thumb screw is pretty low profile.
Yeah.
The other thing that is kind of cool about the design is I got another little gizmo accessory to go along with this.
Oh, yes.
I got a a rosewood hand grip. And so I could take that little thumb screw out, and then I could screw this little hand grip on to the phone so that the phone feels even more like a camera when I'm, you know, using the lenses.
Yeah.
And it's hard to like use the grip, like if you're really trying to make your fingers fit into the contours, it's just like it's too small, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like there's not enough to it. But if you don't really like think about it and you're just kind of taking pictures and you're holding the phone, you'll find that you're using the grip like more than you would think you are. So, my phone like weekend, and I loved it. Like I really liked the way it felt. Plus it looks awesome. It's rosewood. It's just kind of like this reddish wood, and there's a lot of grain in it and stuff, and it just looks super cool. And it wasn't very expensive, so I thought, you know, what the heck? If I don't use it, I'm out like $20 or whatever. And
right.
If I do use it, then cool. And I do like it. It's pretty cool.
Do you keep it on your phone, or do you take it off?
No, when I know I'm going to take a whole bunch of pictures, I'll put it on. Cool. Like, it takes like literally like a minute to put it on.
Right, because all it is a screw, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's real easy.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And they have it for, you know, the different cases for the iPhone 6 and for the 6 Plus. You know, they have different size ones or whatever.
Dave was wondering if it added a lot of weight or thickness. And I think he's talking about the grip, but... he says for the lens case.
No, it's... It's insanely low profile. It's like a really, it's enough of a case that it definitely adds protection to the phone.
Yeah.
But it's not, I can't tell you like how many millimeters or whatever it adds to the phone. I don't have that information in front of me, but it really is surprisingly slim. And one of the ways they achieve that is in the way that the lens attaches. It doesn't, well... There's like not a lot of like a tab or whatever that has to slide into the lens. It's like really, really thin. I don't know how to explain that. I didn't explain that good. But in any case, it's a pretty thin case. It does not add a lot of thickness. It doesn't add a lot of weight.
Yeah, mine's a little bit different. Janine in the chat room says that she forgets the lens is on. She has the same one I do. And I think she was one of the first people to mention to us about the stylus lens. I have the one, the cylinder 4-in-1 case actually, when it's in my pocket, I know here in the South, a lot of people choose. So it looks like a skull can or something like that in my pocket when I'm walking around. I'm like, oh. Looks like I'm chewing tobacco. I don't keep it on my phone, but when I put it on, there is a bulkiness to it because of the nature of the system. And Janine says she doesn't keep the kickstand on. I guess she keeps the lenses on her phone 24/7. So. But I'm the opposite. I have to be able to slide this thing into a pocket that I have while I'm working or I'm at home or whatever. And I can't do it with the lenses on it, but mine is the cylinder one, the 4-in-1. And what it is there's a wide angle with a macro lens. So the wide angle comes off and it's magnet and there's a macro lens underneath it. Then there's the fisheye. And the one thing that I was very curious about, and actually I really like it, is the fourth lens is a circular polarizer. And I have to say it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun showing people the polarizer, because I was like, all right, look at the floor in the kitchen. And I'm going to turn this, and you're going to see the reflection go away on the floor. And they're like, whoa, that's cool. They're like, I want one. It's pretty cool. I haven't used the circular polarizer outside that much. I wasn't seeing that much of a difference comparative than indoors use. And so, but I still need to play with it more often. But it's nice. The lenses, they come out and you put it on there, you snap it into place, and you're able to get some good shots. I'm not a big fan of the fisheye, but I've been using the fisheye more when I do panoramics. So that I'm getting a much more detailed panoramic than I would if it was just a regular, the native lens. So
you're going to have to explain that to me. How are you doing panoramics with a fisheye?
So you put the fisheye on there, same thing you would as a wide angle, and just do a normal panoramic. And
all right. So how are the edges not just like totally like out of whack with all the distortion?
Magic. No, actually, I have to say the iPhone's panoramic feature is probably one of the best panoramic features anybody has ever put out. Mark talks about his Fuji cameras all the time. He has a panoramic feature, I believe, on his Fuji cameras. He says the Apple, there's no comparison. It's just better. It's just the way that Apple does it. And I think they do it more like a video than stitching the images together. But I could be mistaken. So I'd have to say, try it. Try a wide angle, or if you have a fisheye. I don't know if you have one. Do you?
Matt? Me?
Yeah.
No, and if I did, I probably would never use it.
I've got two of them. I've got one with the Olo clip, and then I've got this one. I'll put some images on Facebook and do a comparison and let you guys see it. But I think I did it first with the Olo clip in my 4S and saw how it was able to work. But like you said, it should be choppy because you think of it as being hard edged images being pasted together. But Apple has a way with their software to not have the choppiness. Now, if somebody's walking through, yeah, you're going to get some of that. But they've even fixed a lot of that also. So you have the fisheye, the wide angle. The wide angle is pretty good. The macro is great. You know, I never thought of having a macro that easily accessible, because my last lenses were the Olo clip. I still use them, but I had to take the phone out of its case in order to use it. But just prior to Christmas, I picked up the Olo clip case that goes with the 4S, and I keep that on the 4S, and it has the tripod mounts in two different spots, one for landscape, the other for portrait, and then it has a cold shoe on there. But then there's a little area that pops off to be able to put the lenses on there, and so I've been using that. But that was the biggest problem. But the stylus is different since it is a full on case compared to the Olo clip. This is a much better build and quality, and you don't have to jump through hoops to get the lenses onto the phone. The kickstand comes off and it goes right in the place of the kickstand, the housing does, and then you're able to rotate it. It goes click, 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 and then you get to the one you want, and it pops out. That's nice. The nice thing is, I believe that housing will work with yours, since it is the virtually the same case. And when you upgrade, I believe it should work with whatever upgrades that we'll get in the future. And I know on their site they sell the cases only, or you could get the combo of the case and the lenses. So I believe in the future, I won't need to actually buy a housing. I'll be able to use the same one as I go along. So that's a good feature also, because with the Oloclip, the Oloclip was mainly built for the phone that was the latest and greatest. And you weren't able to transfer it to another phone because there's a difference in thickness of each phone. And also the placement of the cameras change. It's not always this in the same place. And I believe that's why Stylus and Oloclip don't make the lenses for Android devices, because there are so many variations. Some cameras are dead center in the horizontal position, and the others are offsetted like the iPhone is. And they can't make a lens system for every single phone that comes out. That's why I believe that they've been dedicated to the iPhone. It's because the iPhone, there are no variations or very little variations. It's only recently that we've had two other choices other than the flagship iPhone. So even there, I don't know if how much they will put into, say, if there's another C model iPhone that comes out. You just never know, and it's up to the manufacturers themselves. But I have to say, I really, really like this. I'm a big fan of it. I did notice, like you mentioned, there was a little bit of chromatic aberration, but I believe I was dealing with some very harsh lighting. It was very bright. I had the sun to my back. It was hitting on my Jeep, and my Jeep is white. So the Jeep was a very drastic brightness compared to the background. And I believe that the white of the Jeep and the edges just were perfect enough to have that aberration in it, that it did turn the edges slightly purple. So I'll post that also in the Facebook. I'll dig that off my computer and post it so that you can see. But other than that, I really like it. I think it's a great system.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. They have another attachment that I'm thinking about getting, which is the LED ring light.
Ooh, yeah. I
think that would be a fun thing to have for portraits.
Uh-huh.
We've talked a lot about like ring lights and stuff on this podcast, but if I get it, we'll mention it.
Very cool. Anything else you want to mention about the Stylus?
No. I think I just said everything I could say.
All right. Well, speaking of portraits, let's go ahead and do this. Post pick of the week. All right. So the last 2 weeks, Our weekly photo challenge has been self-portraits. Thanks, Matt.
Sure.
And it's been one of our challenging ones. And we decided to extend to a second week to give people a chance to be able to do it. Because sometimes the week goes by real quick, we get busy, and it's more like, oh, I can't do it. And so we wanted people to be able to at least give it a try one more time. And we did get some more submissions, and I have to say it's fun to see. Portraits are, to some people, are very easy. Others, it's very difficult. But when you make it a self-portrait, I think there's a whole lot more challenges that come with it, because, you know, we're critical of our own images, but then we're really critical of ourselves and what we look like. You almost have to divorce your feelings when it comes to photography, in a way. Not always, but we are our own worst critics. And when it comes to our own self-images, we're our own worst critics also. That's the nature of human beings. That kind of harkens back to what you were saying about the Amish, and, you know, they don't want their image to be something that they focus on. And sometimes I feel that is highly attractive in a way, because it takes away fears and anxieties, and it places less emphasis on ourselves. But you know, we live in a culture and society that is based off of image, and a lot of it has to do with ourselves, whether we what we see in other people, if is it a reflection on ourselves, and then we reflect our own image onto others. So it's always interesting to see what people come up with. And I have to say, we've had a wide variety of self-portraits in the Facebook page. Is there anything that kind of stuck out with you?
Yeah, well, obviously Bread Geek's
yeah.
photo that he posted just a couple days ago. And that's really more for the editing. It's just...
Oh, is it the one with the lines that were...
Yeah.
He had a lot of empty space, and then the lines were going the opposite direction?
Yeah, that one was really awesome.
Yeah.
I like... I really don't know how to say this dude's name. Astinian Popa?
Yeah.
His photo where he placed his phone down inside the washing machine.
Yeah.
And it's looking up at him as he's reaching down into the washing machine. That's really cool.
Yeah,
it wasn't the iPhone, it was his GoPro.
Yes, he used a GoPro.
Yeah. But that one was really great. I really like that one. I just thought that was pretty creative. I like the one you did this week, Joe. The light in it. I like that one. And I like Nigel O'Connell's photo that he posted, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. Actually, it was today.
Was it today?
Yep.
Yes, it was this morning. With him and his bass guitar. I like that one a lot, too.
Yeah. And speaking of Nigel O'Connell... that's actually going to be our post pick of the week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I really like it. He has his, the Necco and the, string tensioners. I'm not a guitarist. I don't know what the technical terms are. So, if you're yelling at your phone, I'll say you're welcome. but he has half of his bass guitar covering his face, and so it's very I have to say it's almost like a mixture of I have to say it looks like a cyborg. in a way. Where
in
it's
a way, yes.
Half machine, half man. And it's very cool. I like the lines. I like that you can see his eye in between the knobs. And even the strings in the tensioners are in a way that it's very interesting. It's like he has an eye on one side and five others on the other. It's very cool, and I think he did a good job. Actually, everybody's done a good job. Keith Mackey, Jeff Simpson did, Dave Pardner, even Doug Sparling. He had a screenshot of that was Nigel. Sorry. Doug did two of them, I think. Or is it just the one? He'll correct me. But he did a painting one. Nigel did a screenshot of what you get when you're editing your image on the iPhone, where you can choose between the different filters, and it shows nine of them. That was interesting. But everybody did a good job, and I have to say, it was challenging. And it's even more challenging when you have to pick just one. I wish I could pick them all, but mine was fun. I think I mentioned it on the last show what I was planning on doing, and it ended up working out. And my wife thought I was crazy a little bit when I was doing it, but when she saw the image, she was like, "Oh wow, that's great!" I took a lamp. And the lamp has a red cover to it and a sort of ornate metal base and a single light. And then I took my old 1940s typewriter and put it close to the lamp, and then I hovered over the typewriter so that the white of the paper would reflect some light back on my face, and I did a profile shot, and I really like it. It turned out well. I'm gonna make that my profile picture. I did notice one thing though, that my gray hair is starting to become more prominent in my images. It's reflecting light back. So
that's pretty funny.
Yeah. So
I'm going back to take a look again here. So
you're like, oh yeah, there it is. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, I have kind of the same problem, but since my hair is blonde, it's just not as obvious.
Yes. Well, congratulations, Nigel, on the post pick of the week. I'm gonna message you to see if it's okay to put your image on the website, and then we'll go from there. So now we need to come up with our next weekly photo challenge. And all right, so what were some of the suggestions that we had received? Somebody said snow, but I don't think that's a good one for the rest of the world. In our little microclimate area, we're getting some snow, but other parts of the world, it's summertime. And
like in Australia, it's probably snowing poisonous spiders.
Yeah, it's mating season, right? let's see here. One of the things that popped into my head when we were talking about the lenses was macro, and I want to do macro again, but I want to see what you thought, and maybe the chat room can give us another idea.
I'll do macro again. I don't care.
Okay. Well, let's see here. I'm going to look real quick in the chat, because I know we talked about it. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything other than that. So let's do that. Let's do macro again and go from there. And go ahead, if you guys have an idea for the weekly photo challenge, let us know. I think we should probably start a thread on Facebook and have some people kind of vote, and then we can disappoint them by saying no, or we could say that's a great that's a great idea. Oh, wait. Yeah. All right. We're getting some movement or macro or yeah. I think we're going to go with macro. So macro it is. But we'll put a thread in the Facebook and have some more ideas. I try to collect some ideas when I post our recording time on Facebook, and we do get a couple suggestions there, but sometimes it's an on the fly thing where we do it when the show's going. So, all right. So macro is going to be our next one, and I'm looking forward to that, especially since I have the new macro lens for my stylus case.
Yeah, that's pretty snazzy.
Yeah. Wait, do you have a macro one for that one?
No.
Okay. So you just have
not,
the...
Not until I also get the revolver kit.
Yes. So you have
I might do.
You're going to?
I might. You never know.
Yeah.
I'm a man of mystery.
That's right.
Surprise.
All right. So, all right. I think we are done. So let me do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
That's right. Is there anything else you wanted to mention real quick?
Nope.
All right. Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, Matt?
Actually, that is what I wanted to mention. you can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo. Yeah, M Hoffman Photo. I almost said mhoffmanphoto.com, but that's not the real thing.
yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. I need to start adding some more images there. I haven't lately, but ever since we started doing more in Facebook, I've kind of neglected Instagram. So that's going to be one of my things. I'm going to start posting more images there. If you want to find the show notes, where our Facebook link is, or the YouTube channel where you can watch Mark's video on the stylus case and lenses, go to tinyshutter.com and you will find all that stuff there. If you would like to email the show, you can email us at tinyshutter@gmail.com and leave us a comment on our show post and we will answer it. I know we've had people comment, and actually there's one I need to get back to, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, just go to tinyshutter.com and you'll find everything there. And if you haven't joined us on Facebook, please do. And you're going to find a lot of cool stuff, some articles that are posted or videos or a lot of images that are being posted. And we've had a lot of new people joining us. So it's a lot of fun to see everybody coming. I think we have around 300 people on the Facebook group, and it's growing. So it's a lot of fun. All right, Matt, I think we can call it a show. So let's do this. Say goodbye, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Every Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.